All depends on what you're persistent in. Some of us are real persistent in our eating. Some of us are guilty. But this morning I want to share with you some insights that God gave me actually several years ago about persistence. And you know, waiting on God sometimes is hard enough as it is. But it's even more difficult when you become confused and frustrated by the enemy's attack on you and your family. And so at times, you know, it just looks like, well, are we going to make it or are we not, you know? But this is where persistence comes in. You see, you desire the destiny that God has set in your life, but you don't know if you're going to be able to survive that long. I know that this year, Colleen, and I've been going through a lot, and sometimes I wonder, Lord, you put me here, you declared a destiny for River of Life Church, and Lord, I am not going to be knocked out of it. I've been here long enough, and I want to see the finish of it. Amen? So sometimes we get discouraged, but along with God's insights, he also gave me hope, and he's given me assurance that which he has begun in this church, he will fulfill. He will fulfill. So it's not anything that we have to give up on. It's already a done deal. All we need to do is get into God's economy, if you want to call it that, his plan, his purpose, and we're going to see some great things happen. Now, if you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and that's all the location that we're going to be moving around, maybe different verses. But what I want you to see, that there is a unique parallel in the life of Hannah and what the Lord has shown me about River of Life Church and the families that make up this church. Now, first of all, who is River of Life Church? You are. That's right. You and your families make up River of Life Church. And you are an important part, not only for this church, but the destiny of this church. And we've had people come and we've had people go. And I think the people who have gone just did never quite grab what God wants to do in this church. But some of you have been persistent in staying. Amen. You've not let anything run you off. And Hannah was the same character. You see, Hannah, who was a woman of destiny, River of Life is, we're a church of destiny. And I want us to look at some of the things that happened to Hannah and see that you as a part of this church are experiencing similar situations. And it's all because of the destiny that God has placed on your life. The destiny. So the first parallel that I want us to look at is found in verse 2. Now, I'm not going to read the whole verse. It'll be up here if you want to read it. But I'm just going to look at some particular phrases in these verses. But in this verse 2, it's talking about her being fruitless. It says, but Hannah had none. And sometimes we find ourselves as a church being the same way. We don't have either no fruit or very little fruit, okay? And that's happening a lot, especially in this day and age that we're living in. We're having more people leave churches than we are people coming into churches. And we're having more pastors getting frustrated and leaving the ministries even because of that frustration. But anyway, Hannah was barren, and she had no offspring, no children. And it was really not her fault, because there was a destiny present. And God had set a timetable that Hannah was going to have to follow. And let me tell you the same thing with us on revival. God has a set timetable that he's following. And we're not going to bend it. We're not going to redirect it. We're not going to speed it up or anything else. It's going to happen when God says that it's going to happen. Amen? So we need not get frustrated, but still at the same time, we need to remain persistent in pressing forward. Now, in the last part of verse 5, it says, but the Lord had given Hannah no children. And I like this, because this is a clear, direct picture that God brings children to people who want children, okay? And we're going to see how Hannah ended up having children here in a few minutes. All Hannah knew was that she wanted a baby. She wanted a baby. We prayed over many through the years who just wanted a baby, and God honored these prayers. And we have these little miracles running around everywhere. Amen. So, you know, God knows what He's doing, and we need to just submit to Him and trust Him in everything. Anyway, she did not know that she was about to become a woman of destiny. Now, before we get into that part, does anybody know who the baby was that Hannah eventually has? Anybody know that? Samuel, that's right. Samuel is going to become the child of Hannah. All right, River of Life Church is also struggling with a fruitless time, and it causes much frustration in all of our lives. Instead of growing, at times it seems like we're going backwards, like I said a while ago. And we want a harvest, yes, we want fruit, but like Hannah, River of Life must understand that destiny is present and God has a timetable set in place, and we have to follow what God has directed. And like God prepared Hannah for destiny, God is preparing you and I in this church for the destiny. And the way He's doing it is by changing our hearts and bringing us to a place where we will pursue purity and holiness. Purity and holiness. Did y'all like that new song this morning, To Be Holy? That's a tremendous song, powerful song. But that song has a destiny in it. And we are destined, according to God, to be holy. Whether we believe that or understand that or not, we are going to be holy. So, God has prepared Hannah, and God is preparing you and I. Now, in the midst of all of this, we want growth. We want to see the church grow. But let me tell you, God wants revival. God wants to see harvest, and God wants to see a destiny fulfilled in this church. So, that's the first parallel that we can see with Hannah. Now, the second parallel we see is that Hannah was the second wife to her husband. The second wife to her husband. Back then, they had more than one wife. I don't see how they could do that, but they do. I love my wife, but I don't know that I'd want four or five of her. Amen? All right. Her husband had two wives, and of course, the first wife, she had all the children, and the first wife took the opportunity to rub it in and harass Hannah and provoke her about she was able to be the child bearer in this group of people. And the Bible doesn't say, but I'm sure others made fun of her too. Especially to be a Hebrew woman back in that day and age, to be barren in that culture was, you know, it made you the lowest of the low in the culture. And just being barren would bring much embarrassment to that woman. But people of destiny are always going to be provoked and humiliated by the enemy. Do you understand that? The devil hates you because of what God is going to use you for. So every time he gets an opportunity to provoke you or to embarrass you or humiliate you, he's going to do it. And so that means you and I need to toughen up a little bit. In fact, in some instances, we need to toughen up a whole lot, because God is our God, okay? Jehovah God is our God. And God says that we can do it, and if God says we can do it, we can. Amen? Now, Satan can recognize destiny. He can recognize destiny, and of course, he'll do everything that he can to put a stop to it. Now, River of Life Church is not only collectively, but as individuals, we're going through rough times right now. Again, getting up here and having to pray over 5, 6, 7, 8 people who are going to have surgery in a small church like this, that's insane. Not to say there's anything wrong with the people, but we have to recognize what's behind all of this. And so there's a frustration in this church at times about things such as this. And the enemy has come against us individually and our families as well. And he tries to provoke us and discourage us because he sees the destiny in our lives that God has ordained for this church. So of all the times, we need to band together in this church in unity of purpose and be unified in defeating the enemy. If you'll notice, every time that we have a specific prayer up here in the front, I always ask y'all to extend your hand and bless them and be praying along with me or whoever's praying over these people. Because we have to stand together in unity of purpose in order to see the enemy defeated on every front. Now, many churches, in fact, most of the churches in the United States don't look at church like we look at church. Most churches in the United States are concerned with people and money. People and money. I call it nickels and noses. Nickels and noses. And they feel like they have to measure themselves by how many people they have and how big a budget that they have. What's their annual budget running? And we don't have our focus on these things. And I don't want to have our focus on these things. Our focus is to be on the Lord and following Him and obeying Him in every area. Amen? And so that makes us just a little bit different than a lot of churches. But praise God, this is a whole lot easier way, you know. I've been in back when I was a Baptist a pastor. I went to meetings, and that's all. When you first got there, that's all you ever heard these pastors talk about. Well, I'm running 150. Well, I'm running 600, and our budget's $1.3 million. Well, God forbid, I don't want a budget of $1.3 million. That's too scary to have to come up with that much money every year. I would rather just do like we're doing. We just sit back and trust God. And God's done a tremendous job. I don't know this. You know, we look at this building, we think, well, it's an old building over in an old part of town, and nobody knows that we're here. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit knows where we are. Okay? And that's all that counts. He can get the people here that need to be here. Amen? All right. So anyway, this is the way churches look at these things. But sometimes the verbal abuse and tormenting of the enemy gets too much to bear. But we have to put up with it. And we have to see that the assault against us has come to us because of this destiny. Now, God has called this church to a special time and place to release an impact not only to this border area, but to the world itself. We have such a tremendous opportunity on our location that we have. And then we have a mandate from God to fit our location. And that mandate is to declare His glory among the nations and His wonders among the peoples. So we have that's our destiny. That's what God's going to bring us into doing. And all of this is going to happen as a result of revival breaking out in this church. So we must keep our focus on Jesus and know that we will not go through anything worse than what He experienced Himself. And sometimes that brings me comfort to know that. God's not going to put me through any more than what Jesus went through. Okay? He treats me like a son because I am His son. And you are sons and daughters of God Himself. And so it's through these trials and situations that we're going to have a birthing in this church. Not a childbirth, but a birthing of revival that will be life-changing for the people that will be touched by revival. And the birthing of the child that we bring forth, this revival, is going to be unlike anything that has ever been seen before, especially on this border area. As far back as I've been able to, find out from people, there never has been a true Holy Ghost revival on this border area. And that means the whole border area, from California all the way down to the tip of Texas. Never has been a revival. So God has chosen this place for that revival. And we ought to be honored by that. And that ought to be a motivation of our persistence. God is going to do this because of what He wants to see happen, not just because of who we are. Amen? So let's look at a third parallel. And this third parallel is prayer. Prayer. People of destiny have to learn how to pray. Now, if you look in verse 10, we see a statement about Hannah. And it talks about her being in distress of soul, praying to the Lord and weeping bitterly. Let me ask you a question. Have any of y'all become distressed in prayer because revival has not come yet? I'm going to say probably not. Any of y'all weep bitterly in prayer because revival hasn't come yet? You see, we have a little ways to go because a persistent heart is going to do whatever is necessary to make sure that we have an answer to our prayers. Sometimes, we think, well, God is not hearing us. Listen, God hears everything. And God doesn't just put earplugs in His ears and say, I ain't going to listen to them because I've heard all about revival I want to hear. No. God knows what He's doing, and He's listening. But God wants to hear persistence in our lives, and He wants to see persistence taking place. So Hannah here is carrying a burden. And her burden is that she, of course, wants a child. And so she prays and she cries before the Lord continually. Continually. Well, Pastor, I don't have time to pray continually. Yes, you do. You'd be surprised at what you can pray in your spirit while you're doing everything else in your life, if you'll just purpose to do it. But she prayed, and she was persistent in her prayer, and she didn't care who heard her pray. See, sometimes we get embarrassed if somebody catches us praying out loud, Well, praying out loud is great, but you can also pray in your spirit down in here. And pray whatever prayer that you can pray as the circumstances allows. Just be continuous in your praying. Now, she didn't care who heard or what they wanted to say about it, but the destiny in her soul would not let her quit praying. And that's what we need to build up in our souls is such a urgency, such a strong desire that we don't want to quit praying until we see revival. Now, River of Life is going to have to take that step itself into destiny, just like Hannah did. She didn't have to pray continually, but she chose to because of the desperation in her soul, in her heart. And so we need that same kind of desperation in our hearts. We're going to have to lay aside everything else around us and begin to focus on praying and crying out to the Lord for a conception of our destiny. A conception of our destiny. In other words, we must press into God continually, and never quit. Now, God wants to birth something through us, but we must first become so focused about having it that nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Now, talking about persistence, Hannah prayed at home. She prayed at the temple. She cried out to the Lord wherever she was. She wanted this baby of her destiny, and she wouldn't accept anything less. That's an urgency in her persistence, okay? And that's what we need. We need an urgency in our persistence of staying with this until revival breaks forth. We must accept nothing less than revival. Nothing less. And in this church, we've had a couple of times where God manifested His glory. And those were exciting times, but that was not revival. And so we can't just settle for something less than revival. It has to be what God has destined for this church, and that is true revival. We cannot expect to carry out God's destiny if we cannot spend the time grieving and hungering for this conception. A fourth parallel is, to me, one of the most important. Hannah became so desperate for her son that she says in verse 11, "I will give him to the Lord all his life if God will just give me a son. I will give him to the Lord all of his life if God will just give me a son." You see, Hannah doesn't know what God's purpose is. And she doesn't know right here, but she's come into agreement with God. And sometimes that's what we need to do. You know, we need to come into agreement with God. Lord, we haven't seen revival, but Lord, we know that it's coming. And I have people coming through here periodically, and that's their message for us. Revival's coming. Here about a month ago, we had an older gentleman sat right back over here. He was from Tennessee. And he came, and after church, I went up to talk to him. And I mean, just right off the bat, he said, "Yeah, the Lord wanted me to come here. I've got a word for you." And I said, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "Revival's fixing to break out in this church." And I told him, I said, I agree with you. You know, I said, but we've heard that so many times, you know, and I know it's God continually encouraging us in this. And then he told me something else. He said, I've been here 2 weeks. He says, I God sent me to come to this church, but I couldn't find it last week, so I went to another church. And he said, "Let me tell you something. They didn't have anything in their church." He said, "But you've got everything. You've got the presence of God." Amen? And I think sometimes we don't know just how fortunate we are to have God's presence in this church. And it's not just a periodic presence. I mean, it's here every time we come together and we begin to sing or we begin to declare or whatever. God just fills this place. And that's a part of our destiny. That's a part of revival. And God just needs to finish it out and bring the rest of it. But the greatest revelation in destiny is when we recognize that what God brings is not ours. You see, when revival comes to this church, we're not going to be able to hang on to it. Hannah wanted a baby, a son. But deep down in her soul, I believe God spoke to her and she gave the baby up before it was even conceived. And that's what we need to get into our spirits. You see, the baby that Hannah was to have was Samuel. And Samuel was going to be an important leader in Israel as a priest. And even after birth, Samuel would have to be turned over to Eli, who was the current priest, so that he could begin to raise Samuel according to God's ways and God's purpose. And so the years between 4 and 6 would be critical years in Samuel's life as he lived in the temple, because it would be his earliest impressions would be to those of the house of God and serving God and hearing the voice of God. And all of these things needed to be learned by Samuel when he was young. And so this was all, you know, falling into place according to God's plan and his purpose. But we too have to reach that level of desperation. And we must be willing to give revival away and not keep it even before it comes. And I, my mentality there for several years was, you know, man, if it gets here, I would have probably messed things up. I'd have probably, you know, just coveted it and wanted to stay right here and not go anywhere else. But God always gets us in the right place to understand what we need to do. But revival is a move of God. And a move of God you cannot contain behind four walls. It won't work. It has to be released. And it will be released when it comes here into this border area. And as I said a while ago, it'll be released into the world. Revival is too big for any one church to contain. Oh, it's great for a few weeks or whatever, however long the Lord allows us to minister in it. But eventually, it's got to begin to expand and go in other places. And so God is releasing revelation, even this morning, about our decision in giving revival away when it comes. We must pray for it. We must see it conceived, then birth it. And then there will be a time to nurture it. And then comes that time to give it away. You see that? You understand that? And God, you know, God is going to do a great thing in this church. Now, the fifth parallel is that Hannah had such a persistent attitude about praying and weeping and even experiencing the presence of God that people thought there was something wrong with her. You let revival happen and people are going to think there's something wrong with us too. I'll guarantee it. You can take that to the bank because it's going to happen. And even Eli the priest thought she was drunk. Now, this is a man of God. And he's looking at this woman just, I mean, grieving and praying and calling out to God for a baby. And Eli thinks she's drunk. In verse 14, he says to her, how long will you be intoxicated? Put away that wine that you're drinking. When you get so caught up in destiny that you don't care what other people think about you, then that's when God's presence is going to consume you. Because it doesn't make any difference to you anymore. God will know that you are ready to conceive the destiny when that becomes your attitude. Now, I find it interesting that God will not always speak destiny to the man of God. There will be men of God in this city that will not understand what has happened to us. And there will be men and women who will sit in judgment of us when revival comes. Eli, a powerful priest, yet he did not hear from God about the destiny of Samuel. He was the one that was going to have to raise him up, but he didn't know about it. All Eli could see was that some woman wanted a baby so bad that she didn't care about what other people thought about her. And so when you're desperate for destiny, when you're hungry for God's purpose to be fulfilled in your life and this church, don't worry about what people are going to say about you. And this includes other men of God, other pastors, other leadership. They may not see what God sees. And listen, that's all I'm concerned about is what God sees. That's what I want people to see, what God sees. Whether they like it or not, that's their business. But I want them to see what God is looking at. We need to be like Hannah. She didn't go seeking after prophets. She even saw Eli sitting in front of the temple on the steps. But she didn't go up to him and ask him for a word from God. No, she prayed from this heart of desperation, even to the point where people thought she was drunk. And as I said earlier, Eli judged her for this. But when he heard her heart, all he did was bless her and ask God to give her the desire of her heart. And we see that in verse 17. Eli said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." Let God grant you that petition which you're asking him. And you see, this was the time. This was the time when destiny was conceived. Hannah did conceive, and she gave birth to Samuel. And after she nursed him about 3 years, she brought him to the temple, just like she told God she'd do it. And she turned Samuel over to Eli for him to raise. And so if your heart is hungry and desperate, well, keep praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. I pray for revival every week, and I have been praying for revival every week for 30 years. And you know, some people think, well, you know, you're just wasting your time. If revival hasn't come in 30 years, well, why don't you just forget about it? Because this is God's timetable. It's not mine. I'm doing what God has called me to do, and that's pray for revival for this border area. But when God does it, I have no control over it. All I can do is be persistent in my praying for revival. And this is the kind of persistence that it takes in praying for the things that we're expecting God to do, whether it be in revival or maybe someone is wanting a child. Be persistent in your praying. Maybe you need financial help. Well, be persistent in your praying. All of these things God will bring about in his timing, but you need to be persistent in praying for them, because that's what God expects. Remember, Jesus said, keep on knocking. Keep knocking on God's door until it happens. Amen. Now, just be willing to give away what God gives us, and we'll be able to bless the world through the destiny that God has ordained in this church. What about being fruitful? Well, Hannah gave her fruit away. She gave her baby away. And you know what God did for her? Over the next few years, she had 3 sons and 2 daughters. God was faithful through her persistence. Amen. And God will be faithful to your persistence. What about the fruit of this church? Well, God has already shown us. I told you that a while ago. They're coming. Revival's coming. So just be persistent in our prayer. And we just need to get through this time of hunger and desperation to destroy the works of the enemy so that destiny may be birthed into this border area. And notice I'm not saying in River of Life Church, because when revival comes, it's for this border area, not just River of Life Church. And the destiny of that revival, remember, is for the nations. That's where it's going to go. So, let's not let the devil sidetrack us with tribulation and despair. Is there going to be tribulation and despair? Yes. So you might as well just accept that fact. It's going to happen. But let us use the tribulation and the despair to press deeper into God and the destiny that he has set in place for this church. Let's not give up. Please don't give up. Let's be encouraged in this season that we're in right now. I have seen people come to this church, and I have seen people go because they became discouraged. And it was all about, well, I thought you said revival is here, or revival is coming, or revival, is going to be birthed or whatever. And people don't understand. You have to be patient with God. If I could manufacture godly revival, I would have already done it. And it's really quite awesome to think about. But God's presence right now is in this room. I don't know whether you can sense that, but His presence is here. And when His presence is here, revival is here. Because revival goes wherever God goes. And all God has to do is just lift the cover off of it, and it'll just blow up into this room. And so that's where our persistence comes. Many years ago, to me it was a revelation. We were in a service down there. We had a little building across from Piedras Negras Grocery. And one service, God just told me, says, why don't you open the door and ask Jesus to come in? Were you there that day? Hope, were you there that day? Huh? Probably. But we did that. I say we did that. We just kind of sat still. And Beatrice, a lady who used to come to this church, she finally got up, went and opened the door. And I'm telling you, when she opened the door, the presence of God just flooded that place. And to me, that was the beginning of God demonstrating what He really wants to do in this church. And I'll hammer it into your head over and over and over again. We are fortunate to have God's presence. So fortunate. And God wants to do so much more with this people. Okay? And we just need to, we just need not let the devil sidetrack us. This is our season. And we need to stand up in victory and declare what God declares. It's our season to demonstrate to the world around us that we may have been knocked down a couple of times, but we haven't been knocked out. We're still in the fight. Amen. And what pushes us to be persistent in the fight is that we know we have the victory. The devil knows he's defeated, but he keeps fighting. But his defeat is going to be eternal. And our victory is eternal. Amen. Give the Lord a praise.